I'm here from ORCID, and I'm going to tell you some stories about things happening in the world of privacy and the efforts of many people to turn you into a product and what you can do about it. So the concept of privacy is something which is actually pretty new. Used to be that there really wasn't any privacy. You lived in villages, and everyone kind of knew your business and knew what you're going. If you want to be private, you literally had to like go away and go into exile, and then you go really private. So as we started creating societies which were based more around cities and much more tightly coupled interactions, the idea of privacy started kicking up because people were saying, hey, I've got all these people around me, I need to have some more time to myself, some more of the ideas of my own information being private. And the internet changed that again. The internet then connected us in a very real way and turned us into more like a global village. But the price of admission to that global village is your privacy, increasingly today. It doesn't have to be this way, but this is essentially how this environment has evolved. John Perry Barlow wrote a very interesting piece many years ago, essentially a declaration of independence for cyberspace. And that concept of how we were going to build the internet back then has unfortunately not really held true in many of the ways that the internet is working today. Back in 95, there were only 16 million people online. And by 2016, we were at 3.4 billion. And in 2016, the United Nations made a resolution where they said that internet access was also a human right, a basic human right. And then by that point, in 2019, we have 4.3 billion people online. And those people, all of us, are creating this many bytes of data per day. Like, kind of crazy, right? It's a lot of zeros. What kind of stuff is that? Well, it's lots of Instagram, lots of tweets, lots of other stuff, like everything. And tons of this data is just getting recorded. It's like profiles of each of us. It's like the Matrix. Like, we had this party the other day. Really is like the Matrix. Like, they've got you, as if that's the information. And in addition, the internet's not really one internet anymore. You've got the US, which is extremely heavily corporate controlled and monitored and kind of everything's for free, but the price is you. You've got Europe, which is kind of the nanny state model of like, we're going to take care of you, we're going to make sure you're private, but we're going to put this GDPR stuff in, which actually has some negative consequences too, that's unintended repercussions of what that does. China, we know, is extremely heavily censored and controlled. And then in other parts of the world, we're doing experiments where we're just deciding whether we want to turn the internet on and off here and there. In Russia, the last experiment was turning off parts of the internet to stop Telegram being used. Freedom House does a survey every year and a study which tries to determine exactly how private we really are in the world, especially on the internet. It's a very interesting set of studies they do. And their conclusion is it's getting worse. The idea that the internet's becoming more free and more private is just not happening. It's actually getting a lot worse all the time. And here's Mark. Sorry. So obviously Facebook got in quite a bit of trouble, and so what we're talking right now is the concept of corporate control of the internet, corporate control of surveilling you, of censoring you. And one of the unfortunate things right now is that there is this perception that everything's okay right now. You know, we had the movie, Cambridge Analytica shut down, like everything will be fine, but it's the same. There are probably like 20 companies copycat of Cambridge Analytica that are going to do the same thing in the next set of elections, probably on both sides this time. And really all that's happening is that it's just propaganda. You know, we've finally woken up to the fact that not only are we marketed information for products, we're also marketed information for how to think. And this has been happening for a very long time before the internet, and the internet just made it a lot easier to do. So this idea that the things that made the just life more fun and more convenient have also made it a lot easier to track you. And this is from where I'm from originally in England, we have more closed circuit cameras per person than anywhere else in the world. We're really good at this stuff. you got nothing on GCHQ. The NSA is just, you know, like a little fun little sister cousin of GCHQ. We got you. Ironically, my dad actually used to work for GCHQ back in the day, so I don't know what that means. So we don't really want to live this way. We don't want to really, you know, live in this world where we have to wall ourselves off and go into exile if we want privacy. We want to live in a world where we're connected and we get to share things with friends. So, but what if you woke up tomorrow and you just couldn't access these sites? What if you were like, oh man, like suddenly my internet just doesn't work? And you can do this, by the way, if you just take a plane for 2 hours west, you can have this experience. It's pretty cheap from here. And it's pretty hard to work around these firewalls and restrictions on content. So what do you do? Well, one solution is VPN. And the challenge of VPNs is that they're not all created equal. Oh, yeah, by the way, this is what we're building. So this is a little bit pitchy, but not 100% pitchy. I'll still tell you some good stories. So we're building a decentralized VPN. And we're building it on Ethereum. Come on. On Ethereum. Yeah. And people ask me why we built it on Ethereum. And I'm like, well, it's the only decentralized smart contract platform. And they're like, well, aren't there some other ones? And I'm like, yeah, but they're not decentralized. So we're doing it with you guys. Right. Stuck. The VPN market has gone mainstream. So 3 years ago when we started this company, people were still a little bit like, wow, you really guys going after the privacy space? Do people really care about privacy? Is this a big deal? And then we've had a few interesting events since then, which people are starting to realize that it is a big deal. And VPN usage globally has been increasing. There are parts of the world where there's just really heavy restrictions. One strange thing is there are parts of the world where satire is banned. Like, you're not allowed to actually be ironic online. Right? It's like not okay, which I think is really ironic. So not all VPNs are created equal, as I said. The main issue is centralization. So what you're doing with the VPN is you're basically paying someone else to man-in-the-middle attack you. So you're like, hey, here, take all my traffic, and here's some money. They're like, cool, yeah, I can trust you, right? But you don't know. You don't really know whether you can trust them. They might be logging your data. Some of them have prices set so low that they have to have some other business model. And what they do is they sell the data to hedge funds. They sell the data to other people. They basically take your information and sell it, just like you were hoping that you wouldn't have to happen. Like, you're trying to get out of that, but actually you're making it worse. So that's one problem. And some of them have logging practices, and they say they don't log. And it turns out some of them do. You find out later. There's also a transparency issue. There are starting to become some of the VPNs now that actually open source their technology. Many of them do use open source standards and toolkits, but there's very few of them that just say, here's our code. And the world that we live in, we understand and we believe that this is important. So there is a transparency issue there for sure. VPNs also have typically only essentially one connection between you and the VPN and then to the rest of the internet. You can improve your protection and your security by actually putting in multiple relays between you and the ultimate exit site. And that's one of the features that we bring in with Orchid. And finally, it's kind of hard to just go up and spin up your own VPN. Other techniques such as Tor and other overlay networks, most people do this on a volunteer basis. So we've been working on, we believe that having the ability to easily spin up and receive compensation for running nodes in a system like this will be an easy way for us to build better VPNs in the future. And finally, most VPNs tend to have a very well-known traffic signature, which means that the firewall is able to easily detect that and filter the information out. We've been working on a solution to fix that. This is the pitch piece. We're offering a better VPN. It's open source. It's built on Ethereum. Right? It's secure, and it's decentralized. And we're launching this year. So we'll be launching in December. You guys can write that down if you like. We're launching mobile client first. primary mobile client as our focus. We're partnering with a number of bigger players in the space and also in the VPN space. And we're hoping to try and address a number of the issues that we've found in the space of VPNs and in privacy. We have an internal roadmap where we're going to be improving upon these things and increasing the amount of not only knowledge that we're sharing about this, but the kind of tools that we're building to improve your privacy. And I think I'm a little early, but this final thing. So we think it's time for privacy, which is a pretty big market, and the crypto market to join forces. And we hope that in the future, not just ourselves, but other people will be inspired to look at this industry and these spaces of private communication and use the kind of all the brains and resources we have in this community to work on these problems together. Thank you.